And the question I have, the first question is, I have, what direction are you facing right now? Majority of you will probably say west. Some of you may be confused as to what direction you actually are facing. You may get turned around. Sometimes we go to places or different cities and we get confused as to which direction we're going. But the answer that you give, just keep to yourself. What is the general direction that you came from to come to worship here today? There's possibly four answers there. Or how about concerning your house, what direction does the front door face? There's possibly four different answers there as well. But this morning, I'd like to challenge you to another direction that each and every one of us should strive to make in our life. The challenge is that of following our compass. The title of my lesson is A True Compass. To challenge you in using this instrument, suppose that you are in a woods, deep in the woods, and it is totally dark. You can't see the hand in front of your face. Which direction would you be facing? You see, it becomes very difficult when there's no light that shines to your path. And we realize that it would require some type of mechanical instrument or device that we might look at. Of course, we might have a flashlight in our hand to keep us from stumbling as we're walking through the woods. But as my friend was always fond of going coon hunting, but he had no sense of directions, after dark especially, and would customarily show up for breakfast after being gone all night long when the sun arose to show him his way home. To solve the problem, the family decided to give him a compass. He might explain to him that you could always find due north by looking or reading that compass. Being overjoyed, he set out the next night, and when he looked at that compass, he became confused, and he was lost. When they asked him what was wrong, he replied, "Well, when I looked at that compass, about midnight, the hand was pointing southeast." My friend didn't trust the compass because it didn't point the direction that he thought it should. A compass won't do much good if we do not trust it. A true compass. Point number one, God's word is our compass. There's one compass that directs men from earth life to heaven. That compass is the Word of God that we carry with us, that we study from. But it can also lead to, but it cannot lead to heaven if one is not willing to trust it. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, in Psalms 119. In verse 105, Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms. For we find the psalmist David had wrote here in Psalms 119, and there in verse 5, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, God's word can direct our path, our way. It can light your way to God, only if you trust it completely. Also turn to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1. And there we notice in the first few verses of this chapter, God spake here in old times by the prophets, but now speaks by his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning there in verse 1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his Son, or his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You see, God spoke in old times by the prophets, but now today he speaks by his Son. Men may reject that compass here upon this earth and follow their own ways. But Jesus Christ had said, turning to the Gospel of John, in John the 12th chapter, and there in verse 48, that these people, or each and every one, will face the word at the judgment. In John chapter 12, and there in verse 48, he says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words hath that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. My friend wouldn't trust his compass, and he remained lost. Even today, there are many who remain lost, who reject God's compass. The Bible doesn't simply advise us this may be the best path for you. That word commands us of what we are to do. And let us face it, most of us just don't like to be told that we have to do anything. Psychologists will tell you that it is bad to make our children do something, that instead we should strive to persuade them, not make them, but persuade them to do something. Well, the Bible does not try to talk us into a course of action. God's word commands us. Turning to John, the 8th chapter, and there in verse 24, Christ said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And also in Luke, the 13th chapter, and there in verse 3, Christ said here, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Both of these scriptures speak of the great consequences if we refuse God's word, if we refuse to follow that compass. Those are not options, but those are commands. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and there in verse 12, we notice here in this writing that if we reject God's compass and go about your own way, you will have only yourself to blame in the judgment. For in Proverbs chapter 14 and there in verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, we should not follow our own thinking, man's thinking. We should follow what God has told us. You didn't have sufficient faith to trust in God's compass if you followed that way of in Proverbs chapter 12, or Proverbs, you know, chapter 14 and there in verse 12. Point number two I have here this morning is that compass points to just one God. Going back to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and there beginning in verse 4 of this chapter, the scripture reads there concerning that of Israel, that the Lord our God is one God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning there in verse 4, said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The Bible said it. I believe it. So that should settle it. Jesus also pointed out this truth, turning to Mark, the 12th chapter. In Mark chapter 12, and there in verse 29, we find here written, the first of all the command, or Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. For this is the first commandment. Paul also stressed this further in his writings there to the Corinthian brethren. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 4, said, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live. This basic truth must be accepted by all, that there is just one God. An atheist doesn't trust the compass, and he turns from his creator because he believes that there is no God. Point number three I have here this morning, the compass points to just one Savior, turning to the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew, the first chapter, and there in verse 21 of this chapter, even before Jesus was born, it was declared that he would save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 1, and there in verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The compass points on to him, to our Savior. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and there in verse 12, we find here recorded for us, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You see, the compass points only to one Savior. Christ stands alone as the Savior. And Paul's writing there to the Hebrew brethren in Hebrews chapter 7. And there in verse 25, Paul stated here in Hebrews chapter 7, there in verse 25, said, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." But what about, or what are those people who trust in Buddha, or who trust in Mohammed, or who trust in Confucius, or leaders of cults that sow their strife and plague our land? What about those individuals? Without exception, the followers have all rejected the divine compass that points to Christ as Savior and from his trust. The Father, the God of heaven, the compass, and all the saints point men to Christ as Savior. In Proverbs chapter 3, in Proverbs chapter 3, and beginning there in verse 5, the writer said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." The Father, the compass, the Word of God, and the saints all point to men, or all point to Christ as our Savior. Point number 4 I have here this morning, the compass points to our salvation. With true consistency that we rely on as the compass, it points to one clear, plain, and simple plan of salvation for all men. When Jesus gave the commission to his disciples, he told them to go and to preach to all nations. Turning to Mark, the 16th chapter, and there, beginning there in verse 15, pardon me, 15 of this chapter, men were then to believe on Jesus Christ, and they were baptized to be saved. For we find here in Mark the 16th chapter, in their beginning, verse 15, he told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." This was fully carried out when men first were saved by the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, these men that were saved, they heard the word preached. They believed in Jesus Christ. They were told to repent and were also told to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, and there in verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." The plan of salvation. From that time of that first gospel sermon to the close of the book of Acts, this word prevailed. There was the preaching of the gospel. There was men who believed, and they also repented. And then they were baptized. And only then did they rejoice in their salvation. Point number 5 I have here this morning is this compass is sometimes disbelieved. The word of God is very simple, but with emphasis. It is very clear and unmistakable in its directions. But men often spurn the compass and follow their own preconceived ideas and their biased opinions. We'll not take the time to read the account back in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, but what is brought forth there is an example of this concept of these preconceived ideas. Elisha told Naaman to dip 7 times in Jordan to be healed of leprosy. But Naaman at first refused. Why? He said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." He had already decided how God would heal him. And so the compass had to be a little off-center for him. Sure, he thought that God could heal him, but it had to be done according to his ideas, according to his way. Men are still like that today. They disbelieve what God plainly says, all the while trying to justify their own feelings, their own opinions, their own ideas. Multitudes have preconceived ideas as to just how God will save them. Turning once again back to Mark, the 16th chapter, there in verse 16. When they read these words of Christ, he said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Some still declare that, "But if he that believeth and is not baptized will be saved also." Why do people say this? The reason is they don't have sufficient faith in Jesus Christ to correctly read the spiritual compass. As my friend back there who had went coon hunting, he thought that that compass was pointing southeast instead of due north. And so it is also thought from Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 that it's pointing to in the wrong direction. And in both cases, not enough trust is placed in that compass. You see, my friend didn't trust that the direction that it was pointing when it should have been due north. The Lord pointed towards heaven in saying, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But men seem to point in the opposite direction, saying, "He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved." And then there's some religious doctrines that are taught that. Now, who has his directions mixed up? Now, are we more confused? Or should we be considering God's word and its truth? My final point here this morning concerns that of we need to be checking our prayer by his compass. Many people spurn the spiritual compass in a matter of prayer. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in Luke chapter 11. But many false teachers who ask alien sinners to pray to a Father in heaven have not checked that compass and are turned around. In the Gospel of John, in John the 8th chapter, and there in verse 44, Christ spoke here in John the 8th chapter, and there in verse 44, says, "You are of your father, the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The alien who prays toward a father in heaven has his directions confused and is turned around. His father is not in that direction, not until he has become a child of God by obedience. That is why no inspired man ever commanded an alien sinner to pray or a saved man to be baptized. Sectarianism rejects that compass and does just the opposite. Anyone who rejects God's spiritual compass and pleads for one to save him is just as ridiculous as what my friend was, rejecting his compass that his family had given him. Why? Asking his family to seek and to save him. That compass pointed the right direction, but he did not follow it. Paul trusted his spiritual compass. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Paul had not trusted God's word? Ananias spoke to him in Acts, the 22nd chapter. And there in verse 16, when he said, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What if Paul had said, just go along? I'm not interested. I think I can be saved without that. I think that I can be just as good a Christian without being baptized. Paul became an outstanding apostle for the Lord. What if he had not trusted God's compass when it pointed to what he should do? In Romans chapter 15, and there in verse 19, said, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul was to fully preach the gospel in four provinces of Europe and throughout all Asia Minor and on to Jerusalem. He also wrote that he was willing to trust the New Testament, that he authored 14 books of the New Testament. We should be happy that he was willing to trust God's compass and follow its directions. What about you, my friend? Are you not willing to lay aside every prejudice and honestly face God's word? For this spiritual compass that we carry, that we strive to follow, are you willing to discard every human creed, every human doctrine, and counterfeit religion, and just accept God's word as the sole authority in all religious matters? It still takes the kind of faith and the trust in following his divine directions, so that you will no longer be lost. The questions at the judgment day will not be, were you a good husband? Were you a good father? Were you a good neighbor? Or did you live a good moral life? The question from God, the judge of all, will be, did you do what I told you? Unless you are willing to submit to the teachings in that word, we know what awaits us. What is that word of God to you? Is it life or is it death? Your attitude towards God's word gives your answer. If you are willing to accept, great blessings will result. But if you simply reject it, God's curse is upon us. We hope this lesson has been a benefit to you, that we must always strive to look to God's word as our spiritual compass and follow the direction that is given for us, striving to reach that eternal home of our soul. Not knowing the minds of those present here this morning, we could assist you in your response to the gospel by coming forward and confessing your sins, naming Jesus Christ as your Savior, and be buried in this watery grave of baptism to become a child of God. We are here to help you or assist you in that. Or if you have one who's brought reproach upon the church, we encourage you also to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation to once again establish your will and your desire to serve the living God while time and opportunity is still upon our side. If we could help you or assist you in any way, we encourage you to come, but together we stand and sing.